How you doing today? Good. Good. It's great to see you. I love you. I love what God's doing in our church, in our midst. And I want to just mention the Daniel fast quickly here. We are beginning a week, a time where we're just saying, God, we really need your direction for the next step for our church family. But it's not just a corporate thing. It's also a personal thing, individually. When we set aside a time to say, God, we're going to seek you. We're going to choose not to eat certain foods. We're not going to eat meats or sweets. We're going to stay on the vegetable and the water track. And God, we just want our hearts really to go after you this week. We need some clarity. And maybe you need some clarity in your job, or you need some clarity in your family. And so it's a personal walk with God. This is not a law. In the book of Daniel, there were four guys, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they needed a word from God. And their life was on the line. They really needed to know what God wanted to do. And they set aside a time where they sought the Lord, and they ate just vegetables and water for a period of 10 days. And so the church family, this is not a command. This is just something that we're doing as we seek God's next step for us. And so I would encourage you to participate. And the bottom line, if you do a Daniel fast for a week, you'll just feel better. You will feel better at the end of the week. It's a great thing to do physically as well. Hey, after this service, we have water baptism. And if you're going to be baptized, I know towards the end of the service, you'll have to slip out. But it's going to be an awesome time. And I would encourage this church family, when we're finished with the service this morning, if we could just kind of make our way over to the pool. And we're just going to celebrate some brand new family members coming in to the kingdom of God and the body of Christ. And it is one of the most exciting things that I can think of that we get to do here at City Church. So that's going to be taking place immediately following this service. So how'd your week go this week? You had a pretty good week? What's that? You had a blessed week? Stay out of trouble, Richard? Working on it? You had a blessed week. I had a really interesting week. I started last Sunday. We finished. We had a great week. And last Sunday was a great day. We had over 675 people. We ran out of chairs. We ran out of chairs on Sunday morning. Come on, give God a big hand. And we're like, oh, help us, Lord. It's just been a really incredible thing that God's been doing here over the last few months. And so I left here Sunday, myself and another pastor. We went down to Sarasota. We had a meeting on Monday morning with a group of pastors talking about starting new churches. And I went to this hotel. I think I went to Holiday Inn down by the airport there in Sarasota. And we were checking in, and I got on the elevator. And, you know, this quiet, shy guy that I am, never talks to anybody. I got on the elevator, and there was a guy on there, and he had his swag on, man. He had the Miami Heat hat, and he had his Miami Heat jersey on, and an adult beverage in his hand. And he was just kind of chillaxing, chilling back, and said, "Hey, man, how you doing?" He goes, "I'm doing all right." And I said, "What's your name?" He said, "I'm Arturo." I said, "Oh, nice to meet you, Arturo." I said, "Oh, what are you doing here?" He goes, "Well, I'm on vacation." I said, "Oh, that's nice. That's nice." And he said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, me and my friend here, we're here on a business meeting." He goes, "Oh, cool, cool, cool." So, you know, we're going to be on the fifth floor. And you know, when you're going up an elevator and the door opens, you just have a tendency to step off no matter what floor you're on, you know. So we're going up, and it stops on the fourth floor, and Arturo gets off, and so we just automatically get off, and we're kind of talking to him. We get off with him. We're kind of follow him, and I realize, hey, wait a second, this is a fourth floor. So I step back in to the elevator, but my friend keeps going. He stops, and then Arturo turns around. He says, "You know," he says, "if you need anything, girls, anything, you know." He said, "It's all complimentary." Terry gets back on the elevator. I said, "What did he say?" He said, "It's all complimentary." Oh, Jesus. So whatever you got this morning, it's all complimentary today. I'll never forget that as long as... So that was the beginning of my week. That was an interesting week. Yeah, stand with me this morning as we read the Scriptures. We're in a series entitled The Holy Spirit and You. The Holy Spirit and You. We're going to look at two passages of Scripture this morning. We're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 8 through 10, and then we're going to read Romans chapter 12, verses 5 through 8. So I got to get to 1 Peter chapter 4, and Linda, if you got some of those teacher notes that I could use, though. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse number 5. Peter says, "Above all, love each other deeply." Everyone say deeply. "Because love covers over a multitude of sins." One of the ways you know that you really love someone, if you overlook a fault, an offense, or a weakness in their life. And it's a great indicator of your love capacity or your love barometer in their life. So love one another deeply. Love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Your mother-in-law shows up and don't just run off down to the sports thing there and watch TV. No, offer hospitality to one another. Verse number 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Now I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we're going to read verses 5 through 8. Romans chapter 12, verses 5 through 8. And the Bible says, so in Christ, we though many form one body. We're many people, different cultures, nationalities, backgrounds, socioeconomic places and jobs, but we're one body. We're one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts. Everyone say different gifts. According to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance of your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Everyone say, cheerfully. Here's my big idea today. Here's this one thing that I want you to kind of get in your heart as you leave today. God gives us spiritual gifts for the benefit of helping others, personal fulfillment, but ultimately to bring glory to Him. God gives spiritual gifts for the benefit of us helping others, our personal fulfillment, but ultimately to bring glory to Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank You this morning for the great work of Your Spirit. We've already experienced today as we've worshiped You. We've taken communion. We've had that moment of intimacy. Thank You that You're the healer in this room today. You heal broken hearts. You heal physical bodies. I thank You, Lord, that we give You room to do what You want to do in our hearts today. God, for those who are here today, I pray that You will challenge us. Challenge us to take our next step, whatever that would be in You today. And God, for me to communicate one more time, I need Your help in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. 3 weeks ago, we started the series entitled The Holy Spirit in You, and I talked about who is the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is He? We have all kinds of concepts and ideas, and depending on what kind of church background, or if you didn't have a church background, the Holy Spirit might seem to be mystical, strange, mysterious. It can seem to be even spooky at times. When I was a kid, we used the word Holy Ghost. Anybody ever use that phrase? The old King James, Holy Ghost. Well, you know, ghost has a connotation in our culture that really isn't who the Spirit of God is. But who the Holy Spirit is? The Holy Spirit is the breath, the divine person of God or the nature of God that lives inside of you. God's divine breath in Genesis 1, when He breathed, He breathed life into Adam. That's the Spirit of God. When you're a believer, you have that divine nature, that Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, living inside of you. And He has personality. He wants to be your friend. He can be grieved. He can be loved. He can be worshipped. The Holy Spirit is your friend. He actually, and in the New Testament, the word is parakletos. He's called to come alongside of you to help you. He's called to help you be a better parent. He's called to help you be a better spouse. He's called to help you be a better son, a daughter, a better worker. He's called to help you. He is your friend. That's who the Holy Spirit is. And what's so awesome about the Holy Spirit is that He has given gifts to His children. He's a good gift. Therefore, I have a whole bunch of boxes all wrapped up really uniquely and differently this morning. These boxes represent gifts that we're going to talk about. They're called motivational gifts. Everyone say motivational gifts. Now this is important because motivational gifts are different this morning than manifestation gifts. If you've been around the church and you've heard different teachings, especially if you've been in certain circles of the church, they talk about certain kinds of gifts. You'll hear pastor going to talk about the gift of tongues last week and interpretation of tongues and prophecy and words of knowledge and discernment and faith and miracles and healing. Those are manifestation gifts. They operate in a local church body. We believe that those gifts are for today, that God still still heals people. We still believe that God has prophetic utterances that come forth to the body of Christ today. We still believe that God gives discernment and knowledge, and we believe that there's a gift of faith in people that the Holy Spirit has given. So we believe in those gifts. We believe in the manifestation. They're generally gifts to know or to speak or to do. But there's also ministry gifts. Everyone say ministry gifts. Ministry gifts are found in Ephesians chapter 4, and Paul talks about the ministry gifts. There is the gift of the apostle, or one who is sent. There is the gift of the prophet, the one who speaks, he declares God's word. There's the gift of the pastor. There's the gift of the teacher, and the gift of the evangelist. There's the what we would call the fivefold ministry gifts. Those are listed in Ephesians chapter 4, and Paul said these gifts are given to the church, the body of Christ, for the strengthening of the body and for the equipping of the saints to do what God has destined them to do. And that's what their gifts. And those are gifts. Those are functioning, operating. Every local church needs to have those. Every local church needs to have those ministry gifts taking place. But then there's what I call motivational gifts. Everyone say motivation. This is really gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us when we become Christians that really define who we are as a person. They're our personhood. They're the way I'd say it like this. It's the way you are hardwired. It's not the way you are when you're at work or you're trying to be someone or you have certain tasks or functions that you need to do because that is required of you. These are gifts that are just there in you. They're innate. They're given to you the moment you get born again. They're deep inside of you. They are who you really, really are. You can't fake these. You can't make these. These are gifts that God has given to different gifts that God has given to every person who puts their faith in Jesus Christ. And when you have an understanding of motivational gifts and how they work in different people's lives, you'll be able to connect with them. You'll be able to relate with them better. If you're a parent today and you understand how your child is hardwired, why they do certain things the way they do, it'll help you to be a better parent. If you're a spouse, my wife and I, over the years, we've had conflicts, and many times it's because I didn't really understand the way that she's wired. I didn't understand the way that God designed the gift that God had given to her. And sometimes my frustration with her is because I'm just not speaking the same language. I'm not communicating the same language, and we're like talking on different pages. And everyone's had that happen. I had that happen with my oldest son yesterday. He's here this morning in the service, and we were texting. I'd had a conversation with him Saturday about doing something, and he on Saturday morning, I had a text on Friday. I had a conversation Friday night, and Saturday morning I texted him to remind him of doing it, and he said, "Well, Dad, I'm already dressed for work." And so when he sent the text, I just read the text. I read it one way. I didn't read it the way that he had texted it to me. And so then I texted back, "You said blah, blah, blah." And we started this little texting thing back and forth. And he said, "Dad, I'm already here. I'm already dressed and I'm already here." I said, "I just didn't understand. I completely didn't understand what he had said." Why? Because we weren't on the same page. We didn't communicate in the same language. And that's what happens when we don't understand people's motivational gifts. We don't understand that the way that they've been wired by God. Every Christian here today has at least one motivational gift. And when you operate in your motivational gift, you know what happens? You become a happy person. Yeah, I mean, your life, you just become happier. The word there for grace or the word for gift is charismata. Everyone say charismata. And the first part of that, the first preposition of that, charis, the first part of that word literally means joy. And when you operate in the way that God designed and created you to be, you have joy. I mean, whatever your motivation gift is, however you find yourself finding fulfillment, and that really is what happens when you start to serve and you start to really be the person that God hardwired you to be, your life is fulfilled. You find fulfillment. There's this inner sense. There's this inner sense of peace that God is really at work in your life. Your life has significance and meaning. You could say like Paul the Apostle. I love what he says to Timothy, his young son in the faith. He says, "Listen, Timothy." He says, "I have fought a good fight." He goes, "I've finished my course." He said, "Listen." He says, I've remained faithful. Now the prize awaits for me. There's a prize of heaven. Why could he say that? Because he lived the destiny and the purpose for which God had created him. You can leave the world a better place, or you can just leave. You can leave the world a better place, or you can just leave. I've done way too many funerals of people who just left. Way too many people. Because they never really understood the way that God wired them, the way that God made them. When you begin to operate in your motivational gifts, the body of Christ gets stronger. Gets stronger. It functions correctly. It functions healthy. We're accomplishing the mission for which God created us as a people in our community. See, motivational gifts. Motivational gifts are what God gives to us. They're gifts to us. But what we make of our lives is our gift to God. God gives you gifts. Those are His gifts. That's what makes you. But the way you live your life is the way that you offer your life as a gift to God. And that's really what this is about. Offering our lives as gifts to God. Offering our lives as gifts to God. I want to talk to you first of all about the perceiver. Everyone say perceiver. Let's see, that perceiver would be the prophecy gift. Now, my perspective on prophecy this morning, in particular in relationship to the motivational gift, isn't necessarily one who will declare or foretell or forthtell the word, although that can encompass that. That's not what I'm talking about here necessarily. I'm talking about a person who has the motivation or the spiritual bent to be a perceiver or a prophet. And we need these people. These people are very, very important in the body of Christ because when they look at a situation, they see that something is wrong and it needs to be fixed. They see that there's sin or there's a relationship that needs to be restored. They have this strong sense of right or wrong. People who have a perceiver gift, they generally see things in black and white. It's either right or wrong. They have very little room for shades of gray. They see things as either being right, they see it being wrong. They can be misunderstood by people at times because they don't understand their real intention to make things go the right direction. They have this keen sense that things got to be right, they got to be right, and they tend to be perfectionists. Their personality is bent towards perfection. I mean, they can be direct, really, really direct. A person who has this gift, they're just direct. They're frank. They don't cushion it. They just look at you. They tell you exactly the way it needs to be done. They tend to do it. And they also tend to offend people. They tend to kind of push people away because their gift is so strong. They want others to be corrected. Pastor, they come to me and say, Pastor, do you know so-and-so is doing so-and-so and they're doing this and this and you need to fix it. And I'm like, well, I didn't see that. If you saw that, then you go fix it. You know what I mean? I think that's what Jesus said, right? Yeah. They have such high standards. The fact is we want people to have this gift. Every person in this room wants your doctor to have this gift. You want your doctor to diagnose it right. Isn't that right? You want him to be accurate. You don't want him to be fuzzy around the corners and full of mercy and all that. You just want him to tell you the truth. Isn't that true? They're eager to correct others. They tend to be perfectionists. They can be pessimistic. If a perceiver is in the body and they're not functioning, they're not serving the way that they're supposed to be serving, they can get very, very critical. They see things aren't right and they're not, and since they're not making a difference and not being a part of it, they can be extremely critical. People who have this gift are prone to depression. They find themselves, they just get really discouraged. They're really, really hard on themselves. When they're children, they don't want to play with dolls. They'd rather kick a doll or they'd rather kick a G.I. Joe than play with the G.I. Joe. They don't want to be alone, but they find themselves being alone because they can be depressed or they can become discouraged or negative fairly easily. But this person in the body is so important. They're so important because they help us. They help point us to the right way. They help point us to the only way, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The second gift that I want to talk about this morning is the gift of serving. Everyone say serve. The gift of serving. The gift of serving, these are the hands and the feet of the body of Christ. These are the hands and the feet. These are the people that are doers. Everyone say doers. I mean, you can see a server, you go into a room, and they just see what needs to, they're doing, they're always moving, they don't want to stand in front of people, that's not their primary gift, although they can do that. They probably want to be behind the scenes, and they want to be making a difference. And they can see it. They can see the stuff, they get they get their greatest joy when others recognize their work, that it's making a difference. They have a sense they need to be approved by other people. The encourager, I mean, they find the greatest joy in meeting short-term needs or goals in the body of Christ. I mean, they'll spend their own money. I mean, they'll see a need in the church, and maybe there isn't a budget for it, but they say, you know what, we got to do this. We have to take care of this. They'll take their own money, and they'll meet that physical need or that person's need. That's a gift of serving. I was with a guy this week who has this gift. We were at the Rays game down in Tampa in St. Pete on Monday, and we were watching the game, and he was telling me about his ministry. And he said, I formed a nonprofit. It's not a church. It's a nonprofit. And he said, we give it. It's called the Network of Hope, I think is what they call it. And he said, we're a nonprofit. You can't find a scripture verse on our website in relationship to our ministry. He said, but what we do is we are the hands and the feet of our community to serve them. I said, what does that look like? He said, well, last week, he said, the mayor of our city is a homosexual, doesn't like Christians. He's a Harvard-educated man. He's very, very brilliant. He feels like Christians are wasting their time. He wants to know what they're doing. They're not making a difference in their community. And he said, we came to him, and we said to him, sir, we just want to do whatever the needs are in this city. We want to be your hands and feet, however we can serve. And he said the mayor just clicked off three or four things. You know, we need a home for people who have addicts. We have prostitutes in our city. We have children who don't have books. The school district is bankrupt this school year, and our kids need books. And he said, no problem. He said, we did that. He said, we went there. He said, we got a house. We started working with prostitutes and people who are addicts. He said, we bought over 800 book bags for kids in that school district so they could have books to start their school. And he said, you know what happened because we did that? Because we served our city? He said, the mayor came to us. They had a great big, you know, like a community fair day. And the mayor said, hey, one of your representatives can come and talk about what you guys do. And he said, we have a guy that came out of our ministry that was a drug addict and all those kinds of things, and he's been saved. And he said, he got up there, and the mayor let him tell his story in front of thousands of people. Here is this man who doesn't have any time for Christians, but because they were the hands and the feet. I'm like, wow, that's the gift of serving. They have that passion. The challenge with servers is they have a hard time receiving from others. I call them HTR. They're hard to receive. They don't want any, you don't want you to do anything. Don't make a fuss about me. They always tend to want to do. People, if you have this gift, you tend to overcommit. There's so many needs, and you just, okay, I'll do this. And all of a sudden, you find yourself overwhelmed and buried because there are so many things that you find yourself involved in. Our church is full of people. This church exists today because we have people who have this gift of serving, and everyone said amen. The next gift I want to talk to you this morning about is the gift of teaching. The gift of teaching. In my family, it's my primary gift. This morning what I'm doing is teaching. I usually like to yell. I would rather yell at you this morning than talk to you like this as a teacher, because my primary gift is not teaching, but I teach because I'm a pastor and I have to communicate truth to you. But my wife and my son are both teachers. My wife, when she was a little girl, she was a total bookworm. She's read people talk about the classics. I couldn't even tell you the names of the classics. My wife has read every classic, you know. And I find my youngest son, he's very much this way. He has this gift of teaching. He said something to me last week about a particular school, about a university. We're looking at universities for him to go to. And he said, Dad, I don't want to go to that school. It's not academically rigorous enough. I'm like, what did he just say? Okay, those words ain't never come out of my mouth. I didn't say that one. He goes to school and they talk about evolution. He studied. He can tell you all about evolution, the DNA, blah 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 blah, and all this, and science. And he's writing papers on tax issues in our community. And wow, he's got the facts, you know, all the facts. And he likes to debate. You know, and he's really good at it. Shuts kids down in the school because most people though they're just kind of, you know. That's a teacher. It's a gift of teacher. Teachers can at times be a little dry. There's a guy who I love. He's one of the most famous teachers, Bible teachers in the world. And he's not very far from here. And I listened to him teach a couple of months ago on transubstantiation. Anybody know what transubstantiation is? Okay, good. No one does. Oh, one brother. Here we got two people. Oh, over here we go. Okay. He taught for an hour on transubstantiation. Well, the transubstantiation has to do with communion and the body of Christ, whether it's really the blood or not the blood. An hour, I'm like, oh my goodness. words that, you know, you look at the dictionary, hey, slow down, man. You know, that's a teacher. They're always defining, and they're always, they want more, and it's got to go deeper. Give me the root, give me the Greek, give me the Hebrew. Really, really, I want to go deep, 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 deep. That's the gift of teaching. And we absolutely have to have it. I mean, we have to have teachers in the body of Christ, people who can clearly spell out, this is what God's Word says. The challenge of teachers is many times they have a hard time making it practical, making it, how does this function? How does this work in a life? The next gift I want to talk to you about is the gift of exhortation or encourager. Everyone say encourager. We like encouragers. Encouragers, they are the guys, man, out here on Sunday morning. You walk up, you've never been here, your first time here. Some guy walks up to you and gives you this great big hug. You're like, oh, whoa. All right. I got a saying around here, we do hugs, not drugs. You know, we're a huggy church. I'm a huggy guy. I used to do drugs. I don't do drugs anymore. I just give people hugs now. Hugs are way more beneficial to one another. They keep you out of trouble. They keep you from getting pulled over by the police. I mean, they keep you out of jail. I mean, just hug, you know. But the encourager, they just believe in people. I mean, the encourager, they're behind people. They want to comfort. The word in the Greek, exhorter, literally is parakaleos. The word para means to come alongside of. And that's what encouragers do. They believe in you. They come alongside. I mean, man, life, I had a friend of mine, and he had this gift. It was so huge. And I remember my life was just stunk, man. I'd been out of a job for a long time, and things weren't working, and everything I tried didn't work. And I mean, I'm feeling bad, and life's hard, and he just, I'm on the phone with him, man. I'm just, you know, I'm going on and on about how difficult and hard. And finally, he just says, Eugene, I believe in you. I'm like, you what? I believe in you. It's like, there's this one famous TV preacher right now. He's got this gift. It's so huge. And, you know, he comes out and he says, hey, he says, you know, this is my Bible. And I can have what my Bible says I can have. And then he starts to talk about you and the God that's in you. He says, I believe in you today. You know, you are the head and not the tail. You know, God's designed you for greatness today. And you know, you might have had a tough week, but listen, that doesn't really matter. Yesterday's behind and today's a new day. If God is for you, who can be against you? And he's smiling, got those teeth. You guys, that guy can't be real. All right? He's got a huge gift of encouragement. Huge gift. And we need encouragers. We have encouragers. You need an encourager. They come alongside when it's just not going well. You need someone to believe and speak truth. The truth is God is with you today. I mean, when the children that are encouragers, they tend to be positive. They love groups. They connect with people on a one-to-one basis. They like reality TV programs. They like to read stories about the gangsters and all these kinds of stuff. They have an affinity towards helping other people. They have this desire in them. They're good with people. They're really good with people. And if it's not practical, they don't want to do it. And if it doesn't make sense, teachers are up there teaching and they're getting really deep. I'm like, well, like, okay, how does that work in my daily life? Because I got to help somebody else. I got to help somebody else get on to the next step. The challenge with an encourager is they tend to feed on success. They tend to feed on success, and they can be overly optimistic. That can be a challenge. That can be an extreme. That can be an issue that can come down. But we need people in the body of Christ to come alongside to encourage others. And everyone said, amen. The next gift that I want to talk to you about this morning is the gift of giving. The gift of giving. This is a person who has this gift in the body. They are such a blessing to the local church. They're such a blessing to the ministry because they really understand. Right after this service, a guy stood out there and said, Pastor, you know, I used to feel called to do ministry. I used to feel called to do that. He said, thought I was supposed to be a youth pastor. He said, but you know, I realized that God wired me to be a business owner, to make money, so that I could give to the local church so it could advance the cause of Christ in my generation. I was like, well, he just told me that. He said, God's wired me to make money, run my business, to be successful, so that I can give, so the needs of others can be met and we can advance the cause of Christ together. That's a giver. That's a person who understands. A person who has a gift of giving, they don't want anybody to know that they do it. But, and this is when it's positive, and they really like to give to, secretly to meet other people's needs. They love to be an answer to someone's prayer. They love to do that. It's just like it just motivates them. They can be good with money. They tend to understand finances, and they can articulate how the market works, and they're savers, and they're really about making money. I mean, they understand the necessity of a business to make a profit. If you're in business today and you don't make profit, you don't exist. We've got a real challenge in our culture today. There's some people that don't understand that business has to make profit. They have to, or why be a business? I mean, you don't do business. Come on in, it'll be all right. Okay. givers in the body, they love to meet other people's needs. The challenge with givers is that many times they want to control the gift. They can want to control. They feel like, hey, I did this for you. Man, you should have me on your team. Or because I did this, I should be able to tell you what I think. And that could be a perversion. That could be a distortion of the person who is a generous person. But the Bible says that a generous person will be blessed. God loves it when we give. Actually, when we talk about tithing offerings and giving at City Church, and I love what Bruce said. He goes, giving makes me happy. Giving makes me happy. And that's what giving does. When we understand the purpose of giving, and what it accomplishes in our life, that if God can get it through us, He'll give it to us, man, it just releases us. It releases us for His cause and His purposes. The next gift I want to talk to you about is the gift of leadership. Everyone say leadership. Are you hanging with me today? Come on. Are you listening today? Because this applies to you. Come on, this is for you. This is for the kingdom. The Holy Spirit is in you. He's given you motivational gifts. He wants you to advance His purposes in your generation. The leader is the headlight. They're the headlight for the body of Christ. They see the big picture. They see what needs to be done. We have leaders in our church. That's what makes our church work today. There are people on our team. We see the big picture. It's one of my primary giftings. I see the big picture. I don't always see the details. I know they need to happen, but I got my eye on the big picture. I got my eye on the goal, what we need to accomplish, and bringing God's love to this city. When a leader walks into a room and you know, someone will spill a cup of coffee, a leader will say, "Hey, Gay, all right, hey, Joe, why don't you go and get the mop? Mary, why don't you take the washcloth? Nancy, why don't you write down we need some more coffee? And, hey, was everybody okay?" And that's a leader. I mean, they know the steps that need to take place. They're always taking notes. They're always writing notes. 1, 2, 3, 4. We need to do this, 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 and this. We need to make this happen. Leaders, when they're kids, they can be lazy at times. If you're a parent today and you have a child that just tends to be lazy, and you ask them to do something, and they get it done, but they just use other people. You know, they get it done, but they just, hey, you know, it's kind of like Tom Sawyer. When I was a kid, I loved Tom Sawyer, you know. He never did a project on his own. That's me. That is me. I can't stand it. I mean, it's a group. We're working on a sermon together. I got to have 5 people in the room to talk about the message. For me to be alone, that's just not the way I'm wired. I want input. I want to know what you think. That's a leader. A leader's got other people to help them accomplish their destiny, what God has called them to do. They see long-term goals. A person who really has this gift, they tend to stand on the sideline. They tend to stand on the sideline until someone asks them. Until someone actually says, will you take this? And we just had this happen in our church. There's a guy who's really got the gift of leadership, and he just stood on the sideline. And finally someone said, hey, will you do this area? And they've jumped in, and it's just been amazing to watch that area flourish as they put their heart and their mind and soul and leadership to that area of ministry. The downside many times of people who have this gift is that they delegate responsibilities that really they probably need to be part of. They tend to over-delegate things. Other people think that they're lazy because they're not working the way that maybe they think they should work. They can be overbearing. They can just, because they have the big picture on the goal, and they're always pushing to accomplish. They're always pushing to get things done. Leaders in the body of Christ, they built great organizations. They built great organizations. They built great churches. but not everybody likes them. I've always said this, if you have the gift of leader, you have the gift of leader in you, you'll have lots of arrows in your back because you're going forward. You're not spending a lot of time, about the past. You're constantly looking forward. Okay? And then that leads me to the last one, the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy. Everyone say mercy. The mercy person is usually really frustrated with the leader. Because the leader is just, you know, this person, they fell and they got messed up. And the leader's like, well, you know, I hope they get it all figured out. But, man, we got to keep going this way. And the mercy person, like, can't you see they're bleeding? They have an 8-inch gap on their leg and we need to stop. And, well, they'll get it fixed. Somebody will help them, you know. That's the leader. But the mercy person's, oh, they're so compassionate. They're easy to get along with. When they look at somebody in the body who has a problem or an issue, they don't hardly even see it as sin. They just say, oh, it's an issue. They have such compassion. They want to see the person get it right. They really, really want to see the person get it right. A person with the gift of mercy, many times they will cry easily. They'll cry easily. They'll see, you know, they'll watch the kid on television feed the child, and they'll be sitting there and just cry. You know, I mean, it's just, it's a compassion. Jesus, miracles happen in Jesus' ministry because he was moved with compassion. Compassion. Compassion enables us to really fulfill the mandate for which Christ called us. I mean, the person who, when a mercy person, they don't like loud noises. They don't like people to be harsh. They generally tend to have a quiet disposition. They like their surroundings to be quiet. They're really cuddly as small children. They don't talk a lot, but they smile a lot. They tend to find it hard to communicate with others because they have so many feelings. They gravitate towards people that other people don't like. They tend to gravitate towards the underdog. They tend to they see that person in the corner that no one else is talking to, and they go over and they focus on that individual. The person who has this gift of mercy, they get great joy. They get great joy when they're able to come alongside of someone who is in real distress. They're sensitive to the words. I've had mercy people in the church, and I've been preaching a message, and maybe my words are really strong, and they've come up to me, especially when I've said something about my wife publicly, and they've come up to me after the service, Pastor, you know, that really was hard, and you shouldn't have probably said it like that. Because they felt everything that I said for my wife. They felt my wife. They just felt everything I said. They could just feel that. That's a mercy person. They just feel it. You're in the room today, and you're hearing me, and you're filtering everything that I say through maybe another person next to you. You're just feeling it. You're feeling it. You've been in a church service and the person's really strong, really hard, and you're like feeling it for this other person. That's a mercy gift. The mercy gift can be easy. The person who has, they can be easily offended. Easily offended in a church because somebody didn't say it right. Someone overlooked them, you know, and they just can be easily offended. They're offended for other people. They can become depressed or grieved in a church. But we need the mercies of God, which are new every morning. See, we need all of these gifts functioning. So here's the deal today. Here's the deal for you today. Here's the deal for every person in this room. Every person in this room, God has a plan for your life. Every single person. God made you. God made all people. He loves all people. He sent his son Jesus for everyone. But not everyone has a motivational gift. Not everyone has received this gift. You know why? Because not everyone in this room is born again. To be born again means I've surrendered my life completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means. Some people in this room, you've received motivational gifts in your life, but you're still living for yourself. You're basically living a carnal life. You maybe come to church sometimes, but really it's still all about you and your fulfillment and your meaning, your purpose, and you tend to be self-focused in life, and you're not operating. You wonder why there's something missing. You're just saying, there's something's missing from my life. What's missing from your life? You're not operating in the gifting that God has created you. And the challenge for some people in the room today is sometimes we look at someone else's gift, we see the way someone else is wired, and we want to be like them. And we try to be an imposter or try to pretend or try to be something that we're not. And let me tell you today, that's not going to work in your life. See, here's the thing today. This is what you can do with this teaching today. This is what you can do. You can leave this place today. Number one, if you don't know Christ, you can accept Christ. It's really simple. We're going to pray with you in just a few moments. We're going to ask every person to pray, to ask Christ into our life. It's the first thing. Once you accept Christ in your life, the Holy Spirit comes in you, and then there are motivational gifts that God puts in your heart. These are bents, desires, things that all of a sudden will become awakened in your heart. The second thing that you can do is you can, after you take the little test, and everyone here should have that test that I gave, that we handed out today, is that you can get involved in serving in some area. The way that you know where you should serve is what bothers you in a church. What area irritates you? What area frustrates you? What are irritations in your life and your community? One of the ways that you know that you're called to serve in a certain area is that when you look at something and it's not working right, it really bothers you. So what you could do with this teaching is you take some time today, and I'm going to challenge you when you go home. I'm going to challenge you to take the motivational test, and then you can start to ask the Holy Spirit, where would you have me serve? Because here's the bottom line. If you're not serving, if you're not using the gift, you're losing your gift. See, it's like every muscle in your body gets stronger the more you use it, and it lays dormant. And then people tend to abuse it. They become critical. And they end up leaving the church saying, I tried that. And I said, no. God's wired you today. God's hardwired you. You have a bent. And the Holy Spirit today is your helper. And He wants you to live a life of joy and a life of fulfillment. I want you to stand with me this morning. I give you permission today to be you. I give you permission today to be who God called you to be, not to be somebody else. The most liberating thing for a Christian is to be who God really created them to be. You can't be me, you can't be your neighbor, you can't be your kid, you can't be anybody else. You can only be who God created you to be. I don't want to change you, but God does. God wants you to take your next step in Him today. I want you to close your eyes this morning. Tom, are you in the keyboard? Kenan, you're here this morning. Every person's eyes closed. You're here today. You haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And it's really simple, man. This is the first step in discovering the way God's designed you. You've got to have a relationship with Jesus. God loves you today. It's as simple as this. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, that God has raised His Son Jesus from the dead, will be saved. We confess Christ today. We can confess Him as the Lord of our life. That's the first person that I'm speaking today. The second person that I'm speaking today is that you're not operating, you're not stepping, you're really not functioning today. You know, you're not fulfilled. You're a Christian and you're saved, but man, maybe you got hurt someplace or things aren't, whatever happened to you. You know you're not really using the gifts that God's given to you. You're really not using them in a way that brings glory to Him. You know that today. The Holy Spirit's speaking to you. Those are two people that I'm speaking to. If you're here this morning and you're either one of those people, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Come on, raise your hand right now in this room. Amen. I see those hands today. I see those hands. Amen. You can put your hand down. You can put your hand down. I love you today. I believe in you. I believe that God that is in you is going to take you into your next step of Him. I want us this morning, there were several people that raised their hand. I want us all to say this prayer together. Lord Jesus, I admit today that I've sinned against you. I haven't followed your plan for my life. But I believe that I can confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus has been raised from the dead. That His Spirit will live in me and set me free. I'm determined today to follow You the best I know how the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. I believe today. You prayed. You meant that. I believe God is doing a work in your life. We have some people in the back or up in the front that would love to talk to you today. Listen, guys, I love you. I'm so grateful that you're here this morning. I want you to take this next step. Take the next step today. I mean, the Holy Spirit is in you. What is God speaking to you today? I want you to take that with you this morning. Hey, guys. water baptism is going to take place right now. They're already having people go over to the baptismal pool. And I would encourage you today, let's go and celebrate people that are being baptized. I want to thank you for coming today. Wednesday night, 7 p.m., we have our groups. And next Sunday, we'll conclude our series on the Holy Spirit in you. And God bless you till we see you.